And they will wonder, why don't you speak to me? I'm right here. Why are you doing that? I just told you not to do that. What is wrong here? And ones left, especially ones who are very, very intertwined, very, very close, will feel the presence, especially very, very near them, while that energy is still warm and glowing. You will feel warmth. Later, if that energy is still around, you will feel cool or cold. Why would that be? Because a normal body functions at, let's say, Fahrenheit 98.6. Anything non-living is cooler than that unless it's in a room that is heated to that temperature. And therefore, an energy form will always present as a little bit colder area. That is not to be frightening, but you will find energy forms becoming trapped in the earthbound plane. And some years ago, by 1987, most of those earthbound energies that would go, that were released to go, were removed from the earthbound energy field because they would be the first to be so badly damaged by any holocausting of your earth plane. So it's important to communicate. If it needs be with God, just ask God and those energies that do hear you to please guide, to please release, to let this soul go. That's all you can do. Release it. You all need to know about this because there are going to be such strange things happening in your environment. And you're going to be bombarded with outrageous motion pictures as these things unfold on your place. As the New World Order tries to take its final manipulative control, many things will take place in your own local environment that are going to be both confirming and confusing. Because no matter how you try to learn, you can't absorb it all, and it's overwhelming. The mind wants to accept it. And the emotional being wants to deny it because it knows its steps. You're born knowing the steps. And as you pass that midlife crisis, most of you don't want to admit you're old, so you have your midlife crisis really in your old age, according to what the doctors let you live. Some of you are going to have to live like 5 millennium just to get to midlife. So I'm not impressed with your midlife crises. I will respect your problems, but you're hardly to midlife. Then there is the decision of what is the next level or the crossover level. Here's where God helps you do your judging. You've heard this old thing, my whole life flashed in front of me. I wish I could remember it. Instantly I knew. All right, we can accept that. Well, what happens is instantly you are all knowing. But again, in that limbo land between placement and that newly experiencing still consciousness, oh God, what do I do now? Well, that's when God comes in and helps you sort what it is left remaining that you wish to accomplish as an individual being, always working toward that once again in merging, melding, becoming part of, integrating into the higher source from whence you came. You are now out of the compression stage into that indrawing of God pulling you back. And if you were foolish enough to hang on to the evil density, you're going to be stuck. You are going to be stuck. You will move farther, or you will simply be stuck at the level of growth of your own experience. And that means that a lot go right into a darker environment, because God can only judge intent. And if the intent was always to grow back toward God in that recognition of source, you're going to make it on that side. But next comes the level of placement. If you have not graduated to the level of angelic co-creator, you don't want to go up there. What would you do? It's only on earth plane that you know all the answers. You get very humble up there. On the other hand, some of you have moved down to experience here in a time of necessary, how can I put it? You don't have a word suitable, but to allow for others to make transition or rebirthing or moving into a different level of understanding. And if you should make your transition and you are one of the knowing co-creators, you will know that and you will simply go home and either await your next assignment, or you will stay within that light. And since all is the thought projection, and I don't want to tread on US&P, but I am going to give honor to Walter Russell. If you are, and you claim you are, you're sitting around here looking like you are, that source is light. And you are the projection of light energy manifest, and there's only one way to get manifest, and that is through the thought of God. So special, you better believe it. And you are birthed totally 100% equal. Because light is perfection. And therefore, all manifest thoughts of God are perfection. And if you perceive, well, what about these dark things out there? Well, mostly man creates the darkness. But God often creates the circumstance through which you can experience. And you must have opposite or you cannot experience. Because all things are a duality. All things are cause and effect. All things have a reaction and a counter-reaction of equal force. And you cannot give these lessons on life because you're not experiencing life. You're experiencing living. And there is no way to express life without using the term light, duality, voidance, action, reaction. And I guess if that requires Dorma has to sit in prison, then she has to sit in prison. And we've had to go through a lot of thoughts on that subject. But out of it, I want to tell you people, God is working. The most incredible response of all has come from South Africa. It's going to be fine. I don't think they want to push this so far as to make it as big as it will be if they touch one hair of her head. I just really don't think they want it. But we wait. And we wait. And we will make a notation here that no big process server has handed them a paper. The enemy is going to fall. It's going to happen all around the globe. The enemy is going to fall. And as ones are rearing their head and looking where their source and center might be, you're linking arms across nations and seas. And after a while, you know, wealth is one thing, abundance is one thing, and it's something that you need, I guess. And you perceive that you can't do it without, so I guess you need it. So you'll get it in some of the most incredibly ridiculous manners that will ever have crossed your attention. We have one working now that would blow your minds right out of any water pond. I like the Federal Reserves to help you. I'll just leave it lay there. If there's one thing I like better than having the U.S. Federal Reserve help you, it's having the International Federal Reserve System help you. And ones are opening their eyes and ears and saying, hey, that old boy's not so dumb. Look at what we have to work with here. So we will get through. But will you have anything to eat? I don't know. I really don't know. You're going to have some spelt. I promised if you put it in the ground, I would water it, and I've watered it weekly. And it's going to start again, right? Now, darest I suggest that possibly for DHEA, selenium, and a few of these other things that you plant some Mexican-style yams on part of that ground in the spring. We're getting there. I want you to begin to think about changing from your dairy intake products over to the whey-based products, and I personally like goat's milk. It's better for you. Goats will eat anything. And by eating anything, their little iron stomachs convert everything. And you have the very best of all the minerals in perfect ratios. You've seen them eating tin cans. That's reaching a little bit. But they will certainly eat rusty cans. And every one of you can use the iron. We are going to get there, with or without anybody with us. We don't have a group, for goodness sakes. But we have a group here, don't we? And we have the ability to do business, don't we? We are going to do business. Nobody comes around and says, oh, well, I'm not going to do business with Sears because I'm J.C. Penney. B.S. You're going to do business where you can do good business. And you're going to do honorable business with integrity and really shock them. You don't have to rip off your neighbor. You help your neighbor, and your neighbor will turn back and help you. But you've a long way to go back there. And you've had all of these unrighteous legal encounters. And I perhaps should have more compassion than I have for those on that other side of that legal battle. Because innocent minds have been had, have been used, and sucked in. Those lawyers never, ever contact their clients. They got powers of attorney signed in the very beginning, and those clients don't know anything. So, Mr. Dixon, if he ever did a gift for this world to begin to revise this system of horror, is where he should focus. After some 3 to 7 of your time days, a soul will then begin to recognize its own placement. Always give your departed loved ones your attention, your love, your grieving. If you don't grieve and come to grips with the separation. And I'm speaking to Paul here directly. You have to come to grips with the separation, the responsibility changing, the feelings of both desertion, anger always comes up, loss of habit, habitual being together, taking care of each other, and during a long sickness, give yourself an extra ounce of forgiveness. Because the parting then is so filled with all of these overwhelming emotions. Give yourself time to grieve. Because in the lives of ones like Lynn and John, their grieving is over. Any sorrow or compassion that they can still consciously feel is at their loss for being unable to help you through it. And then hold those good memories always. It doesn't mean you can't have other relationships, fun, experience. And yes, some die, willing you misery. Ignore it. That's their problem, not yours. When you are separated in death, then your bondage ends. You can love, cherish, whatever feelings you want to have, but they are gone. And if you don't want to go with them yet, you better make your life without them. That doesn't mean you don't honor and respect and revere every moment of goodness that you had with them, but you don't plague them with the bad things. If they helped you grow through those bad moments, you appreciate that. You thank them for allowing you to grow. You apologize that they're not around to see you in your new intelligence. But you have to go on. And in that same vein, I'm going to talk to some of the others in this room. Because you don't have to die to several relationships. And yet they are just as dead as that proverbial doornail. And the only way you will ever reclaim them, if you want to, I don't know why you might want to, but one or the other might still be clinging, you've got to go out, get your own luggage together. And if you want that relationship again, you start there. You start there. And you just pretend that other one that you've known all these years, you don't know them. Most of you will come to that understanding, man, I don't know you. I just don't know you anymore. You never did. And if you want to know them, then you call up on the telephone and you say, I'm Joe. I met you once, and I think I would really like to get to know you better. Would you honor me with a movie, a dinner, whatever's appropriate? And since most of you who will come to that break in your relationship will have children being torn in every other direction and basically being denied because one or the other is not going to want that responsibility for a while. It's more than they can emotionally handle, and the other party has to understand that. Or you're clinging to them for all the wrong reasons. You're going to have to say, it seems like we had a perfectly, whether it worked out well or not, we had a business relationship. And we had a product here that's being damaged by our new business relationship. And you're going to think, how can you talk about a child so objectively? How can you raise a child without some objectivity? Stop thinking about yourself and think about the product. How can you improve the product that you birthed? You made it. The least you can do is try to make it a viable, saleable product that is worthy and makes you worthy. So yes, indeed, I have a captive audience today. You came to say goodbye to John. You're going to get your lecture. I've never said it would be different.
Thank you.
Randall's come a long way for his lesson. He could say goodbye to John just as well from wherever he was. Millers have driven over. A lot of people have come. We're going to grow. We have to grow. You people have to grow faster. Somebody has to walk that road first. And we have to unfold some of these other things first. If Dorma walked out of here right now, and said, I'm never going to serve you again. It isn't like we wouldn't somehow breach that or get across that breach. Some of the business relationships would flounder. Her hope, as is EJ's, is before anything has to be decided about this US&P case, that we can get far enough along with some of the other business things that they will flow if they are not around for a month or two or 6 months or 6 years. At least someone else can fill in. And it won't be easy because they have spent a lifetime making some of these connections. And right now there's nobody else to fill those shoes, and it gets to be very overwhelming. You know, like, sir, I cannot go over there and do a funeral this afternoon. Yes, you can provide me with voice one more time, dear. You see, all you have to do is consider the next step. You don't have to consider the overall whole, except in the overall goal of wholeness. And I know that all of you are continually shocked at both the smallness of the world. Let me go on record here as telling you something really funny. A very, very close contact, business-wise, in Athens, Greece. A crucial link in this. Much contact back and forth these days. EJ says something about the New World Order and the United Nations circumstances and Madeleine Albright now being Secretary of State and the U.S. pushing out Boutros Ghali and a new one being chosen to come in. And this one from Athens, Greece says, I know that one. Coming out of Africa to head the United Nations, this person went to school with him, and they were close friends in the United States of America. They'd both come over to study. Small world? No, I like to use United Nations also. We may as well just get with the big boys, hadn't we? If it's going to be the big boys picking on us, then let's get with it. Give them something to pick about. And we certainly plan to do it. In Mexico, the doctor said to Rick, day before yesterday, how in the name of goodness do you keep that paper on the market? And Rick said, that's how. You know, they read it, pass it around, hide it. We got a precious letter from a reader in Brazil. We've had amazing input from Sweden. God has a plan 2000. And I believe that you're going to have to consider that we need workers on both sides of your veil. And yet we cannot bring fullness into our own lives until we can appreciate the passage of another and get over both the fear and get our acts cleaned up so that we're ready. Preparation is not just for a Holocaust or an earthquake. That could kill you. You better be ready to meet God now, because you don't know but what the next 30 seconds will bring the big one. Well, does that mean I have to be pious? I certainly hope not. That makes me sick. Get yourself squared away with God. And then what comes, you can deal with. And you know, oh, I wish I'd prayed to God this morning. Maybe, you know, it'll be better or easier or whatever. Be as the child. They know God loves them and will take them according to the best of His will to do so. They will feel they don't have a choice and they don't think about it. They may think about whether or not I should pull that ornament off the Christmas tree and really make Mom mad. Or how about I eat or mess up her cake before the guests get here? Those are the little things. But those are the precious memories later, remember. It's not funny when you're grown and you do those silly things. So you better get yourself ready so that instantly, without thought, you say, God, take it. Grandfather, help me. I don't care what you call this being of Source. It opens up the conduit for Source to act. Because otherwise, we can't. We won't. And when you say, God, help me, or just God, or just think it, or in that fleeting moment, let it be such a part of your beingness that it's just there. And you will always be given the right thing for you. That's why it's so important to learn to pray, God, thy will, as you see it, that I may serve. And yes, you're still going to poke in, well, I really do think, sir, that a little rain would help, or a little dry would help, or a little money would help, if it be your will. And then let it go. It's like a cure. It's like faith healing. If the body is sick, it takes a while to heal. I am not impressed by ones who are instantly cured. A body has to heal if it is injured or sick. It doesn't mean that if there's a little malingering there, that possibly you could get up and walk. But it means you could have anyway. I am not lessening the miracles wrought by God. Because in the blink of an eye, direction can change. But make allowances for self. Leave those kinds of miracles to God. And don't put on a big show. We don't have any of that sort of stuff going on in here. If we did, I would charge you for it. I expect ones to do whatever they want done themselves. And I'm happy to share and offer if I see a better way. But there's not anybody going to come and do it for you any more than anybody, including Audrey, who could care for John, mop up after John, could make that passage for John. And she can't, no matter what, take his sins and make them whole. John can't take Audrey's. And now he's gone. He made them okay. All gone. Maybe we should start a new religion today. John's gone. He can't defend himself. Let's just dump all our sins on him. Henceforth, no matter what we do, John will give us absolution. He doesn't have a say in the matter. No matter how hard he shakes his head, we decide. But he's still confronting what he thought he had decided. It was wrong. I think it would be nice if we said some nice things about John, and some of you got to know him a little bit better. Rick did write something, even though he was pretty sure he wouldn't be here, and he left it with EJ to share, just so you know a little bit about him. Audrey wrote a nice message that could be run as an obituary. You see, you do need to make these public announcements, too. And they need to read at least nicely. So maybe if you would read Rick's, he would appreciate it, and so would I. And I appreciate your leaving John's chair empty for him. Quite frankly, it's the first time he stayed awake through the whole meeting. He's moved into joy, people. You know, you feel almost embarrassed to laugh, but that's the fact of it. He's moved into joy. You're still stuck here.
This was written by Rick Martin on the 26th of December. John Schrepfer. May God bless John with clarity of mind in his continuing journey. I knew a far different John than the one seen at recent Sunday meetings. I knew a John who was always quick to offer a helping hand when needed. I remember one time when my old Chevy Nova was acting up, and I drove by John's house and mentioned it to him. Without a moment's hesitation, John rolled up his sleeves, opened up his garage, and began looking for his socket wrenches. He then proceeded to tear into the engine to see what was wrong. Another strong image I have of John is with food. John would often travel to Bakersfield or into the valley to buy various kinds of food, not for himself, but to prepare to help others. It seems like I used to perpetually see John offering a fresh bag of oranges to me, also always with a smile on his face. John had a very strong spiritual sense of things. I have never known a man who believed so much in the power of prayer. John was intervening by physically, astrally projecting when most people had never heard of the term. There was far more to John than met the outward eye. We all remember him, of course, for his unrelenting concern for his Mercedes. Yet, to a certain extent, who could blame him? John had worked hard at his craft and had earned everything he had, and before the vultures came in, he had a lot, but was ultimately stripped bare by the greedy, small-minded buzzards. The facts are, John's friends and real family were here in Tehachapi. People here gave back to John in generous offering. I will never forget going to John and Eleanor's house in 1989, when sitting in the living room, suddenly there was an ear-piercing shriek. John! John! It was the poor, stressed, feather-plucked parrot that John loved so dearly. The bird had learned through many years of living with them both to emulate the screams of Eleanor to John. I want to ask something of John now. John, now that you are where you are, put in your personal petition to the Grand Council to get us some help so that we may complete that which has been started.
Count on Rick. The first thing John did was ask for a meeting with the council. You'll all appreciate that. That's none of your business yet. But he had his list ready. How many times have we walked out of here? And he says, sitting there in that chair, we just need to get this to the council. How many of you remember that?
I have another little announcement while we have a little break here. The fudge has been passed around. Andy was taking it by, and I had a piece, and it was just exquisite. And for that, we owe our thanks to Gloria Atnap. Thank you very much.
Someone wishes to speak over here, too.
Thank you. I just want to say and also agree with the commander that I felt that he was an exceptionally strong man, and that no one here, I don't believe, had the endurance and the capability that John did. And when I looked at John walking in that feeble body, I always knew that there walked a very great and precious man. Thank you.
No, it's our appreciation to you. You have a gift to see beyond also. You share that with Little Crow and some of your own. And that is a wonderful gift, and we thank you. Are we through eating fudge now? Can you go on?
You may go on.
It's up to you. You were reading. Did Rick, is that all he wrote?
That's it.
Well, you better read mine. It's longer. And you have to wait till 4:30?
Well, I'll read yours. It's time to turn the tape.
Almost.
Well, since nobody had a better plan, maybe even if you had offered, there wouldn't have been a better one. EJ has ordered in pizza so that we can have a little supper.
Pizza party.
It was John's favorite. As a matter of fact, after some of these meetings, that's what we would do. I would go, and you would eat. It still hasn't changed. Now John will watch you eat what he liked best. Audrey, you failed. John was a cookie monster, too. He used to go back and forth to San Jose, if anyone knew the way. That's a joke, please. And he would bring back from his favorite bakery boxes of cookies. So that's what we've done. We want to enjoy a supper in memory of John, and we want to share.